The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. When a woman is in labor, she is in anguish because her hour has arrived. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the pain because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. So you are also now in anguish. But I will see you again, your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. On that day you will not question me about anything. Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Gospel, I think, is a call to us to once again reflect on the role of suffering and the struggles that we have in this life in producing glory for us. There's a kind of a resentfulness that, you know, we have, and I think that it's in a way kind of a natural experience that we most of us have, that whenever sufferings or struggles come up, we say, you know, why me, and why did this have to happen, and we have many questions, you know, why, I don't know, a person might ask, why did I have to lose this job, or a person might ask, why did I have to get this illness or this cancer, or why did someone die very suddenly and young, and we have these questions, you know, we have many questions, and the Lord does say there will be a day when you won't have any more questions to ask me. It will all be evident to you. You'll see the role that everything had. As Scripture says in Romans 8, all things work together for the good of those who love and trust the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. And Paul says, for example, elsewhere, I think in 1 Corinthians 5, we're not discouraged, because although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary and light affliction is producing for us a weight of eternal glory beyond all compare. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere he says, the sufferings of this world cannot even be compared to the glory that waits for those who love and trust the Lord. So again, these are teachings given to us. And yet in the midst of affliction or trouble or sorrow, we often feel overwhelmed, and we feel that God has forgotten me, or God is unfair, or God, you know, we have all kinds of things that occur to us to think. And it's a call to us to, Jesus says here, one day you won't have any more questions to ask me, you'll see. It's a call to have a new mind, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To be able to be a little less resentful, a little less pouty and childlike in our childish, maybe I should say, in our thinking, where we just pout and are upset and just angry and petulant and so on when things come up that don't conform to our way and we don't understand and so on like that. Now, A final thought on this. In the natural order, I think we do see how there is a relationship between suffering and glory. We think of an athlete, for example, who punishes and pummels the body in order to achieve glory. Hmm? Years and years, perhaps, of practice and training and sore muscles and getting up early, or you know, really tight diet or whatever it might be. All the things that an athlete does to, in a way, kind of inflict limits upon themselves and suffering, so that there will one day be glory and fruitfulness from this hard work. Or pruning rose bushes. You know, we see the roses looking quite lovely and luscious, and the leaves are rich out there right now, and the blooms are getting close to coming out. And this, of course, goes back to the fact that they were pruned back in November, pruned way back from they were probably 7-8 feet tall, some of them, and pruned all the way back to a foot off the ground. But we see again that pruning has produced, you know, effects. What do you have, really, that you value that didn't come to you at a rather high cost? Perhaps your career, years of study, preparation, and so on. you see the point, right? We know this relationship, and yet again, there is this part of us that can become rather resentful or bitter or just sad about these sufferings we have to endure. And yet, again, the Lord is simply saying, look, I want you to trust me. I'm allowing something in your life right now. You can pray for relief from it. That's all right. But in the end, I want you to know that I want you to trust me. And one day, when you see me and you experience the joy that all this has produced, you won't have any more questions then. You'll understand. It will all make sense. You'll say, wow. I mean, just that little amount of suffering for this amount of glory, it was worth it. You say, wait a minute, but what about, I really had some intense sufferings in this world. But you don't even know how intense the joy will be, you see. And the intensity of the suffering will seem like nothing compared to the joy that waits. On that day, you won't have any more questions to ask me. Amen.